Good morning. I thought I might share with you. Sometimes I don't share motives, and this is a flaw I have. I do a lot of weird things, but I don't share with you the motives behind what I do when it's a weird thing that I do. So I thought this morning I would share with you about personal growth, some of the motives behind what I say and why I preach what I preach. And regarding personal growth, I have a large personal growth. Now, this large personal growth that I have has a mind of its own. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and it's out of control, and I can't even make it conform to one solid shape, so I have to wear a bead to try to intentionally grow the thing in a straight direction, in a proper way, to make it neat, to make it smooth. There's all kinds of things I have to do to my beard to make a personal growth. Now, a lot of you ladies may not understand or relate to what I'm talking about. But I bet when you wake up in the morning and you didn't hold your hair back properly, you have some things to deal with, don't you? Your hair gets out of control and there's a bird's nest back here and you can't get a brush through it. And it hurts because intentional growth is required. All of us have personal growth issues. But what about spiritually? I think a lot of times spiritually we think, well, I'm a Christian, and so what? I don't need to do anything? I don't need to grow? I became a Christian, and therefore growth is over, or what? Do we intentionally grow as Christians? It's a tremendously important task. Here's the command to grow, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge. There's an intentional command to grow. How do you grow? You know, I see this verse and I think, okay, that's great. I need to grow. Fine. Now what do I do? How? How do I grow? Do I have a plan to grow? A growth plan at all? You know what happens in a garden if you don't bother to make a plan? It looks like my backyard, doesn't it? You can even have a plan to go work in the garden and then stop doing it, and it will look like someone's rugged backyard. There won't be any wonderful vegetables coming out of that. It will grow up with thorns and thistles and weeds and all manner of everything that lives in the desert. You have to have a plan to grow a garden. And I think it's so fitting and so ironic that God said, you know what I'm going to do on earth? I'm going to make a garden. I'm going to make a garden in the middle, and I'm going to put man in there in the beginning. And man's going to learn how to be a gardener. All of this is common things that God expects us to know. So, we need a godly growth plan. This is a series of lessons. Some of them are similar to what you've heard before. Today is an overview of godly growth. Okay. Then, the food required. You don't grow unless you eat food. And how do you eat food, and what do you eat spiritually? Nuggets of wisdom. How do you get those pieces of food, and how do you cut them into a shape you can consume? Meditation and chewing, that's how we digest spiritually. The Spirit's role and prayer's role in all these things. Wonderful things. We're going to go through these lessons. My goal is by the time camp comes around to have all of these done so that we can go to camp with a lot of information about godly growth. And the subject at camp is also to grow godly, to grow spiritually. So that's the plan for these lessons. Is growth necessary? Look at Luke 2, verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Did you ever consider that Jesus had to grow? That he went intentionally, disobeying his parents' command, to sit in the temple? And he was supposed to be with the caravan. I'm sure they said, everybody stay together and find your travel buddy. And, you know, this is our camel. And put your with our camel. I'm sure all those instructions were there, and Jesus was not there because he intentionally went to the temple to listen to those people and learn and grow. And that's what he did. Luke 2:52. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Did Jesus have to grow? The answer is yes. On this earth, Jesus intentionally chose to grow spiritually. What about Saul? Acts 9:22, Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. What an aggressive task he had. Prove to a Jew that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's a tough task, and he could do it. But he had to grow. He had to increase. He didn't say, well, I'm a Christian now, so I'm done. No, he had to grow. Growth is necessary. Here's some commands. Ephesians 4, verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. To become more Christ-like is a growth job. It's something we must intentionally choose to do. We grow up into all things. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Our salvation is something we grow into, just like our faith is something we grow into, and our love is something we grow into, and Christ-like is something we grow into. We grow. Those are the commands. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You are growing up, and even in the church we are growing. We are building together with stone after stone. Why intentional growth? Now, you might think about this as kind of an awkward question. Well, why intentional growth? Maybe I just don't want to grow at all. The answer is you will grow, period. Whether you grow like a weed or you grow like a godly fruit person depends on your choices. You will grow. You don't sit there and decide, I'm not going to grow at all. No, the answer is you'll grow a weed, just like the backyard. In your mind, in your heart, the things that the Satan is sowing seeds out there. And if you choose to take the seeds of godliness and ignore them, Satan's seeds will be the ones that are growing. They'll be the ones that are dominating. That's how we grow. It has to be intentional. Here's an example. As a deacon or as an elder, if that's your goal and your calling in life, young men, if you think about this way, a life decision may disqualify you from this task. There are many men, and especially out in the world, we talk to many churches and they say, well, we don't have any elders. Why not? Well, no one's qualified. No one's qualified to be an elder? Well, they obviously did not grow with the plan in their mind, with the plan in their heart that I am going to be a leader one day. I'm going to be an elder. I'm going to be a deacon. I'm going to move on to maturity. That thought was not there. And so life decisions come along, and well, let's just throw it all away. And there are no qualified men in many churches, and it's a disgrace. It's a shame. But it comes from the lack of intentional growth. You choose friends, right? You choose friends. And you may just decide, well, I'm going to wander around life and hope that God, that whatever blows against me will be a good friend. You could do that. That's one path. And God will help you to choose godly friends. He wants you to have godly companions. But he gave us instructions about choosing a godly companion for a reason. Because it's hard to make friends sometimes with a godly person, especially if they're busy. They're the person that's going and doing, and they're a snowball of energy, and they move along, and they're accomplishing things and doing good deeds. That's the kind of person you want as a friend. But they're not just going to blow up and we're just going to sit around and maybe one day be a friend. It requires a conscious thought. It requires effort. The same thing is true with a mate. That if we just randomly hope that some lady comes along and we find her pretty and attractive, then we'll get a mate. Well, we have failed to become the godly person that God needs us to be. The right way to choose a mate, by the way, is to improve yourself. If you think, one day I need to get married, then what you need to do is improve yourself. Make yourself the godly person. Make yourself the godly woman. A woman of virtue. That is how you choose a mate. And it sounds a little bit counterintuitive. You think, well, I should be putting out a list of what I want in a man. No, you need to put down a list of what you want, what God wants in you, what God wants in yourself. Spiritual maturity can be measured by personal study. If I look at somebody or if I look at myself and I think, how am I doing spiritually? What am I going to look at? Personal study is the answer. Personal study, how much am I in the Word? is the answer to how much I will grow. How much, if you put a plant on the counter and you take it out of its soil and you lay it down, is it going to grow? No, it's not going to grow. It's going to wrinkle up and die. What I love about the volleyball court, I can go out there and I can pull up those little weeds. They don't have any root. And I lay them down. I don't have to deal with them anymore because they're no longer in the soil. And the same thing is true spiritually. If you're not in the soil, if you're not in the Word, you will fail to grow. There will be weeds in your life and in your heart. Growth comes by hearing and faith, of course. But I want to point out first and foremost, it is godly growth we care about. There are a lot of growths that can be defined. Weeds grow. In fact, they grow really well. I don't even have to water them. I try not to water them. I step on them. I go out there all the time when we're walking around in the triangle and I kick the weeds, don't you? I've seen Johnny go out there and he pulls the little weeds out, and Edward and others. Why do they keep coming back? The answer is they're weeds. And they grow aggressively and they don't need any help. But a godly growth is much different. It requires intentional thought. Colossians 2:19. He has lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. The reason those weeds are out there is because God caused them to grow. And no matter what I do, no matter how hard I work, they will continue to grow. And the same thing is true even spiritually. God causes the growth in us. He's the source. He's the vine, and we're the branches, and the things that come from Him grow out of us if we're godly people. Remember that phrase, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase? Or how about John 15 and verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is exactly what I do on the volleyball court. I take that little plant and I put it apart from its soil, and it lays there and shrivels up and dies. Apart from Christ, you cannot grow. You can't. There's no spiritual growth that can happen. You will shrivel and die like a weed. But I love that will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my word, there's other verses that say my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You will. There's no choice. It will happen. We need to study God's Word. So here's an exercise for you. I want you to study this. Two verses put up here. Contrast them. Compare them. Something's missing from one of these two versions that I don't like. I don't like it at all. This is how you study, by the way. This is how you study God's Word. You know what it says. And you're running along and something's missing. And you say, study. Have you studied these two verses? New American Standard says, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It's not the letter L in the word fullness that's missing. That's how they talked, and that's how fullness was spelled in the past. That's not it. The NIV says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, the word measure is NIV. Is that what's missing? No. What's missing is Christ. In the NIV, they didn't bother to put Christos in there. The love of Christ surpasses all knowledge. It's not just love that surpasses all knowledge. It's the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. And if you're reading the NIV, you have failed to understand this verse. You will never get it. That's what it means to study God's Word. It means you take something and you digest it and you chunk it apart and you figure out what's there and what's missing and all of that, the nuances of God's Word. The church is the proper soil. I've described to you a little bit about soil. Guess what the soil is for a Christian? You know, people don't understand this. You go to people in the world and they say, well, I know I'm a child of God. Really? Do you? Because you're not in the soil. And I know if you're not in the soil, you can't grow spiritually. Ephesians 4, it was He who gave all the structure of the church. apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's spiritual growth. All those things are spiritual growth. And God put this whole structure in place. The foundation of the apostles, the stones, the living stones that build on the cornerstone, all of that, that's the soil that a Christian grows in. Christians go to church. Anytime you talk to somebody and they say, I'm a Christian, find out, do they go to church or not? Because that's what Christians do. They go to church. Here's another study verse for you. I'm sorry if you're not the Greek students. The church is the proper soil. This is Colossians 1:28. And the task here is find four uses of the word pos in this verse. If you can't do this, we need to study. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. There are four Greek words in there that you could find. The word pos. It means all. It means every. So if you study this thing and you find it, well, we proclaim him admonishing every man, all men, and teaching every man, all men, with all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's what it means to study. It means we dig and we find and we look at the nuances and we understand, wow, he emphasized this all thing four times. If I was writing this sentence in English and I used the same word four times, I would probably be trying to change it because of what I was taught in English. But he intentionally put those four things in there so that we would know all men everywhere need all knowledge. Everyone's going to be complete. No one gets left behind. That's what he's saying. The soil is made out of love. The soil is comprised of love. If you take your soil and it's all sand and gravel, it's not going to grow very well. The same thing is true with us spiritually. Without love, what am I? I'm nothing. 1 John 4 and verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If I don't love, I have a huge problem, don't I? Or 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love does not abides in death, does not abide in Christ. We have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. If I do not love the brothers, I have a problem that I need to address and correct. We must grow our love. That's how we grow. This is what the soil is for. And I've gone over this last time. I went over this in the family lesson, right? Always tell them, I love you. This is mechanical ways of dealing with how do you love the brothers. Well, tell them. It's pretty simple. When you say, I don't know if I love someone or not. I don't know if he loves me or not. I don't know if she loves me. Well, somebody hasn't told somebody something. If you tell them that you love them, they know. And then they think about it and they say, you know what, I love them too. And then they say, I love you back. Or sometimes they feel constrained to say, I love you back. You know, and they say, I love you. And they say, yeah, that's nice. Or good. Well, something's wrong, isn't it? Something's not right. Always tell them I love you. Greet everyone. And the example last time was, what if I went and gave everybody a hug in my family except one member? How would that feel? If I gave everybody a big hug when I got home from work except Zia, she doesn't get a hug. Wouldn't that feel terrible? Wouldn't that feel awful? Wouldn't it just, your heart would break. Greet everyone with love. Consider them better than you. These are just simple ways of how to do the I love you to the brethren. When this person approaches you, you consider them better than you. When you're with us, you're family. This is your motivator. This is how you think about everyone in the assembly and how you think about outsiders. When you're with us, you're family and becoming part of a family. But I want to share with you at this time a problem. Here's the problem. Here's the danger. I'm not A, okay? Anytime you use these words in this order, you need some help. I'm not a. And here's how it works. I'm not a social person. What are you really saying when you say that? I'm not a good speaker. I'm not an eloquent. I was not given the gift of. Anytime you use those words, you're saying, I'm not going to grow. I'm going to plant my feet down and be a weed. I am not going to grow. That's what you're really saying. You know who tried to say this? Another thing for thought here. Another study point. I didn't put a scripture up for it. Who said that to God? I'm not an eloquent speaker. Right? Somebody did that to God. Somebody said, go get someone else, God. Like, you can't choose the right guy. Ooh. Moses is a lucky man. I'm sure he was teetering on the edge of woof. He was right there. And God says, who made your mouth? If I were God, man, he wouldn't have, woof, he'd have been gone. It's a good thing I'm not God. I don't have his mercy level or his patience level. Don't be a Moses. Don't say, I'm not a social creature. I'm an intro whatever. I'm not going to. Don't do that. Learn to love others. Learn to be out. And this is how you will grow. This is how you will grow. How do we know if we love? All right, so we've been doing this I love you thing, and I've said I love you, and some people have responded to me with a constrained I love you back, right? So I've done that. Now, how do I know that I love the brothers or that the brothers love me? You know, Scripture says this. I don't even have to go over it. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. The love is flowing in these verses. But how do we know? 1 John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Pretty straightforward. How do I know? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. You mean I have to obey God too? I can't just say I love you to God and hope that that's good enough? It won't work, will it? If Brighton came up to me and said, and I gave him a task, and he said, I love you, and then he went and played his games, what would that do? Okay, I'm sitting here and I say, Brighton, please, go take apart the ship, which happened this morning. And he sat down and played his games and said, Dad, I really love you. But he sat down and played his games. How would I feel? Would he love me? No, absolutely not. And yet we do this to God. We say, wow, I love God so much. And then we go sin. And then we go play our games. And then we go do our other activities and our worldly entertainment and our other stuff. And we don't do what God asked us to do. We're doing the same thing to him, aren't we? We know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commands. It's kind of like it comes with the territory. 1 John 3 and 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you are willing to set aside your life and your agenda in life to help someone else, that's laying down your life. My agenda today would be, let's sit around. Let's build something. Let's tinker. Let's all these things we could do, right? That's my agenda. But if I love the brothers, I'm going to go do something for them. I'm going to lay down my life. That's how you know you love them. It's pretty simple. The soil also has faith in it. It's not just love in the soil, it's faith in the soil as well. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. I think that this happens and can be said about Cloud 9, that our love and our faith is increasing and growing, and you can measure it in a lot of different ways, but we can see it happening. Romans 10:17, I mentioned this one, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Are you in the Word daily? You like to eat daily. I like to eat every day. In fact, I eat more times than one every day. What a blessing. Not too many people in the world get to eat more times than one a day. Some of them don't, and it's kind of sad. But I love it, so why are we not in the Word every day? I certainly hope that you are in the Word every day. What about when the soil gets tough? So right before the end here, we're going to cover a little things that can happen to the soil that cause a problem. What if it's tough? Now you can take a pickaxe and go out in the side here and hit the pickaxe against that soil, and it's not going to give. It's very, very tough. Luke 17:5, the apostles said, "Lord, increase our faith." That's a prayer you can do really, really fast in your mind. And when someone has tough soil and a hard heart, "Lord, increase their faith" is the solution to that. Just like in the soil out here, I need to add something to that soil to get it to work properly. In this case, I need faith added to the heart of a person who I would like to see grow. Maybe it's me. Maybe my soil is tough and I need faith in order to make it grow. What else interferes with growth? Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. If I look at somebody and I see they're not maturing, if I look at myself and I think, I'm not maturing, I don't feel any stronger now than I was a while ago, there is something in the way. And what is that something? According to Scripture, it's the worries of life, the pleasures of life, and the riches of life. These will choke a spiritual person. These will cause people to not mature. They will become weeds. How is your worldliness level? I hope it's zero. That's a hard thing to achieve. Can you get to zero worldliness? Hard thing to achieve. You live in the world. But we're not supposed to be like the world. And yet we are. And I've always taken this verse and kind of dismissed it because I think, well, the worries of life and the cares and the concerns, and I forget about what's else in that verse. The pleasures of life, the riches of life, they'll choke you too. Well, I'm not sinning and I'm not worrying and I'm not doing any of the negative, but are you doing the fun positive? Because they will choke you out as well. The fun positive things in life will choke your spirituality. Matthew 24:12-13. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Most people's love will grow cold. I didn't write those words. God wrote those words as a warning, as to say, hey, if something's wrong with your love, wickedness destroys love. It obliterates it. It wipes it out. Any amount of good love that I can build will be destroyed by wickedness, and it'll grow cold. So there are things that are interfering with my growth, aren't there? This is why friendship with the world is hatred toward God. A lot of people don't like those words either, and they think, well, I'm in the world, and I'm not sinning, so I'm okay. And they forget the fact that the Scripture says riches and pleasures. And they think, well, as long as I just go along with the tide and not sin, I'll be fine. And they're swallowed up by the deceitfulness of riches and wealth and by the pleasures of the world. Love and hatred, they're two opposite things. They don't ever go together. Our growth takes some work. It takes some patience. James 1 and verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is what we want to be. We want to be mature. We want to be complete. You know, I have some cars, and if one car was missing a tire, how useful would it be to me? I have two cars that are, I had to fix one of them, but another one, now I have one car that's missing a tire. It's not very useful to me. I can go out there and look at it. I could drive it around. It would kind of be patum, 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 patum. It wouldn't get me to Tucson. No way. The tire's going to blow apart. It's missing a tire. It's not complete. How are you as a Christian if you're going to be, well, I'll just sort of do what I need to do and hope that I grow okay? You'll be incomplete. You'll be missing a tire. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. as well as Hebrews 5, 14, 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's a hard work, to consciously decide to grow. Constant use. Train yourself to distinguish good from evil. It takes some work. It takes some growth. So does making a garden. It's a lot of work in making a garden. The same thing is true spiritually. It's a lot of work to grow into a mature, a Christian. And of course, God is the source of growth, so that's wonderful. We don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to grow because God is the source of our growth. As long as we're connected to Him, we will be growing and we will be bearing fruit. And I want to share one last thought. There's no copyright on godliness. You don't get to stamp your copyright on God's work. And you can't say, I have grown into a wonderful Christian, because you haven't. You've done nothing. All you did was connect yourself, and even that was a graft by someone else. Grafted you into the vine. You can't take credit and say, well, look at how good my growth is. The only thing that really lasts is godly growth. Think about this. If you collect all the treasures of the world, are they going to last? They're not. All the neat things that I have in my house are breaking down as we speak. You can almost hear the things starting to rust, starting to make things fall apart, and the wood is cracking, and water's getting in there somewhere, and termites are starting to eat it. Right? That doesn't last. Well, you know what really lasts? Godly growth. If I teach a young kid in their heart about godliness, and they grow up and they say, I've just realized something. I've just realized this wonderful thing that I've said 1,500 times to them. They realize it. It's theirs. And you don't have copyright. God has copyright. And so it's a wonderful thing when someone takes a thought and makes it their own. And this is how we grow. You take a thought, it came from me, it came from God. Who knows where it came from? Maybe it just came out of the blue and it's, wow, neat. You take that thought and you make it yours and you grow on it. And it's a wonderful thing. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This is the concept that he's teaching here. I have no greater joy than to hear that what I taught this young individual, this heart, is growing to maturity. What a wonderful thing that is. There's no greater joy. There's nothing that will outlast it. And as far as copyright violations, Matthew 10 and verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. God wrote the very first open license in Scripture. He wrote it and he said, there's no copyright on spirituality. Freely, I am dumping it on you. Freely, you dump it to everyone else. You overflow it in people's lives. This is how you grow. You are responsible for others' growth. Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let one who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. You don't have a copyright. You don't own it. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We are responsible for other people's growth as well, not just our own. So in summary, you are responsible for your growth. You are responsible for growth. Good growth takes intent. I have to think and plan and focus on, am I going to make good growth or am I going to make a weed? God is the source of growth. He's the life source. He's the nutrients that feed the growth. The church is the soil for a Christian. As much as that is a weird statement, if people don't believe it, the church is the soil where Christians grow. Good soil. It's composed of love and faith. That's the pH balance of this soil. Love and faith are here. We are also responsible for the growth of others, not just ourselves, but what we pass on. So hopefully I have inspired you in some way to take your growth seriously. Take it seriously. I'm going to be intentional and careful with my friendship. I'm going to be aggressive in how I grow spiritually and make it yours. So with those considerations, we'll have a song.